Lord's mercy is on you.
The EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network presents
Believe the Impossible and You Can Do the Incredible.
Fulton Sheen.
A prophet for our times.
What a blessing is our faith.
Well, welcome. This is Father Andrew Apostoli, member of the Franciscan Friars of the Renewal. Welcome to our series on Archbishop Fulton J. Sheen, a prophet for our times. You know, I chose the title, A Prophet for Our Times, because he was truly a very prophetic person. A prophet in the Old Testament, we know, was a person who did basically two things. Number one, he was a person who could speak God's message with a great clarity, a forcefulness, a conviction. Oftentimes, prophets had to call the people back to repentance. They had to remind them of God's covenant. They had to stir the people to love God once again and to be faithful. And certainly, Archbishop Fulton Sheen did that in his preaching, through his many books, through many ways that he could convey the message of the gospel, even his work at the propagation of the faith. I had read many letters. People have sent me copies of letters that they had received from him. And even in thanking them, his words would be very inspiring in making them realize what a mission they had accomplished by perhaps, for example, offering a donation to the propagation of the faith for the support of the foreign missions. So he was a very good, pious, exceedingly talented, and generous man with his time, and it helped the propagation of the faith.
His greatest love was the missions of the church. He said that. But I think for him, the missions of the church would have been the propagation of the faith, and then that was the society, but there was a propagation of the faith that went beyond that work. And I think that was in his talks that he delivered to people.
He had a way of being able to sense what the actions and attitudes of people right now would amount to in the future. In other words, where would these things lead to? He had an ability to sense beyond the present moment. Let me give an example. One thing that he was a constant theme that he preached about was life. Remember, his whole series on television was titled Life is Worth Living. I wonder how many people in listening to his talks week after week, perhaps people who had no sense of direction, maybe no faith, no explicit kind of religious belief, found comfort in his words and that life had a purpose, and therefore life was truly worth living. You know, today we see so many people who live in almost with depression, anxiety. They want to give up on life. They get easily discouraged. Things don't go their way. He had a way of making people see beyond that, and, you know, really give it their best effort. I remember he said he was talking about sometimes young people and their attitude, for example, toward the Mass.
I'm sure there are some young people here in this church who have said, oh, I don't want to go to Mass. I don't want to go to church. I don't get anything out of it. Do you know the reason why? Because you don't bring anything to it.
And that was a common line that he used. You have to put something in. You have to make an effort. In one of his talks, he was saying how you have to fight the current of society today, you know, its values. And he said that it was very important that we fight the values of society today. And he made a remark in one of his talks. He says, remember, he said, dead bodies float downstream. In other words, when you don't resist the current, you're just going to be carried away with it. And he had a way of challenging us to realize what our duty, our responsibility was as Catholics. But in the theme of life, he was so prophetic. He said way back in the early 1950s, he said, if we accept contraception and adopt that kind of mentality, a contraceptive mentality, he said, abortion, euthanasia, and violence will follow. And wasn't he correct in that statement? There's a prophetic statement. He knew that if we begin to tamper with the divine purpose of marriage, and that is the procreation and education of children, and he said, we begin to separate the theme of unity in marriage, which is the love of husband and wife, from the procreative purpose of bringing forth new life, he knew that eventually we would become so turned in on pleasure that eventually we would lose the significance of life. It would become a non-sacred thing. And certainly in our American society today, with abortion, life is no longer sacred. We don't respect the life of each individual child. And he knew that once you begin to separate, you know, the purpose of sexuality from the pleasure that it gives in the unity of a husband and wife, the sexual act, from the openness to life, which also meant an openness to commitment to their marriage, which is extremely important, he knew then we'd begin to focus more and more on the pleasure, and the life aspect would deteriorate. And it certainly has. And the victim of that deterioration has been the child. It used to be that the womb was the safest place in the world for a child. Now it is the most unsafe place for a child, because we know that in America alone, every day there are approximately 4,000 abortions. That means 4,000 unborn children are evicted from the wombs of their mother. And therefore, the womb is no longer that safe security through which new life enters the world. So he recognized then the link between contraception, the mentality, and the attitude that it begins to create in terms of stressing only pleasure. He knew that that would eventually lead to abortion. And once abortion became accepted, as it is here in America, it would begin to erode the thinking further about the sacredness of all life, namely the elderly and the handicapped. So people would begin to clamor for euthanasia, and certainly they are now. They'll give it fancy names like death with dignity and assisted suicide and the like. But we know it is simply the destruction of life that is no longer valued as sacred because it's God-given. Rather, it's held to be, no longer useful, no longer purposeful, and therefore it can be destroyed, it can be terminated. He recognized clearly the link between these things. And finally, he predicted that there would be violence. And we certainly have seen that in America. We've seen violence in our schools. The case in Colorado where two young people went on a shooting rampage and killed many of their fellow students, and determined to do even more, inflict even greater human destruction of life. We recognize terrorism now spreading in the world. All of this comes from the lack of the sacredness of each human life. In a sense, Bishop Sheen was already proclaiming that. What Pope John Paul II said, told us to do in the new millennium, was to build a civilization of love based upon the recognition of the sacredness of each person. That's the only sure foundation that we have for peace and justice and harmony in our society, our human family, is that we recognize each life as created by God, we recognize the rights of God over each person, our responsibility to follow God's law, and to, therefore, the responsibility we each have of recognizing the sacredness of the life in our brothers and sisters. And Bishop Sheen was certainly a champion of this message of life. He used to use an example of how society begins to deteriorate. It doesn't deteriorate all at once, he said, but only gradually. And he used the famous example he would use would be to take a pot of water, he said, fill it, you know, put water in it at room temperature, he says, and then put a little frog in the water. And he said, you'd see the frog swimming around and playing in the water. He said, put that pot on a stove, turn that stove on. And that frog would continue to swim in the water, not suspecting any harm whatsoever. The temperature of the water might rise to 150, 180, 200 degrees. The frog is still unaware of any danger, even at 210. But once that water hit the temperature, 212 Fahrenheit, a little frog would die instantly. And he said that's how the deterioration within a society occurs. Little by little, people don't see how one event, one change in the society and its values, one alteration of the dignity, again, one step away from the dignity of each person, will gradually lead to the erosion and collapse of that society. Remember, it's happened, we know, in human history. Bishop Sheen said that in one of his famous talks, he said every 500 years, human history goes through great changes.
That we are living in about the first age in the history of the world that has denied guilt and sin.
So Bishop Sheen was aware, again, that the moral, when the moral fiber of a society begins to fall, that society is doomed to destruction. In one of his most famous talks, it was entitled The Approach of Midnight, a very fitting title. He said that in a society, when a society accepts certain negative things, values, he said it comes into to a certain point, a danger point, where it can no longer turn back. He said American society today is divided between what he calls biophiles and necrophiles. Biophiles, he said, comes from the Greek words bios, which is life, and philios, love. And so he said there are those who love life, and the necrophiles, those who love death, from necros in Greek, necros, love of death. And he said society is being divided between them today. And he said it's important that we stem the tide of abortion, because if it's not done and done quickly, he said, we will lose the ability to turn the society around. He gave us an example in that talk. He said, if you take helium, the gas helium, he said, and he said, you reduce it to 100 degrees below zero Fahrenheit. He said, it still remains a gas. He said, but it goes down to about 170 degrees below zero. He said, the gas will turn into a liquid. It changes the nature of that substance. And so he says, if we do not turn back the mentality of abortion, he said, it will become so ingrained into the society that people will demand it. And isn't it interesting, because when the Supreme Court dealt with one of the cases to reverse Roe versus Wade, one of the reasons they gave for not overturning Roe versus Wade, you know, the legalizing of abortion, was that they said Americans, many Americans today, will plan their lives around the availability of abortion. Isn't that a shame? And again, Bishop Sheen was so prophetic in this point. He said, if we don't change, people are going to demand it. People are going to take it as just a normal part of human society, especially the young who have never lived since 1973, when Roe versus Wade was made the law of the land. Many young people born since that time have never known a society in which abortion was illegal, in which all life from conception to natural death was considered sacred, was protected by the Constitution of the United States. After all, the Constitution says very, very clearly that we have certain inalienable rights, the right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. So again, Bishop Sheen was a prophetic man looking into the future and helping us realize where society would go. And that's why his talks, his books, his message is of such great value, even to us now. It challenges us. It makes certain people feel uncomfortable, those who have bought into the necrophile philosophy of life, the love of death. Makes them feel very uncomfortable, but it strengthens those who are biophiles, those who buy the philosophy that of a love of life, the culture of life, as Pope John Paul II calls it.
The Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day He rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Amen.
Let's return to Fulton Sheen, a prophet for our times, on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
Welcome back. We were talking about Bishop Sheen and his emphasis on life and its sacredness. One of the things I wanted to mention was that he promoted a special apostolate or prayer for the unborn. It was called the Prayer to Adopt an Unborn Child. It went like this: Jesus, Mary, and Joseph, I love you very much. I beg you to spare the life of the unborn child that I've adopted, who is in danger of abortion. And I've seen that prayer spread far and wide. In fact, on the back of my own little business card, I had that prayer put on there so that when people wanted to call me, have my name information on the back of the card, it would have that prayer to inspire them to pray it every day. I wonder how many children that would have been in danger of abortion were spared because people were praying for them. They were adopting that little unborn child that they didn't even know. I'm sure in heaven they'll be told the name or names of those children that were spared the gift of life because they prayed that prayer for them. Bishop Sheen also extended the theme of life in terms of his reaching out to other peoples, his respect for others. For example, it was seen in terms of ecumenism, where he recognized the dignity of each person, like Mother Teresa, who used to receive into her places for the poor, the homeless, the soup kitchens, the shelters, and the like. She took care of all the people who came to her. She said, you know, they were all of God's children, the Hindus, the Muslims, as well as the Christians. of course, she herself was a strong Catholic and very identified with her faith in Christ, but she also recognized that others have a dignity, and she always respected that. And Bishop Sheen did too, and that's why, in one sense, he was 20 years ahead of the emphasis the Vatican Council gave to the theme of ecumenism, trying to work together with peoples of other faiths, especially after World War II. Bishop Sheen called upon the people of other religions. He wanted better relationships between Christians and Jews, and Christians among themselves, Catholics and Protestants and Orthodox. And he tried to encourage working together, because we're all working for the cause of Christ. He said the nation needed it, needed everyone working together. So he fostered life even in that way, by promoting unity among God's people. At the same time, he also was a staunch defender of the rights of people of other races. He felt that racism was a terrible, terrible evil, and he did all he could to break down the barriers that separated people because of the color of their skin or their ethnic backgrounds. In fact, it is said that one time, when soldiers in the American Army were still segregated by races, where they were kept in separate barracks, that he tore down a fence that separated black soldiers from white soldiers. And he saw this as an unacceptable discrimination against people. And he was so far ahead in this understanding. There's a very interesting story told, if I go back to the theme of ecumenism, where Bishop Sheen was on a train one day, and he was talking to an Episcopal priest. Now, the Episcopal priests traced their line of priests from the Anglican Church. And the Catholic Church had done a study about Anglican orders late in the 19th century, and said that due to changes made in the rite of ordination in the Anglican Church, that the Anglicans had lost a true line of bishops. They had broken that line of bishops who were necessary to validly ordain the priests. And so the church concluded that Anglican orders were invalid. Well, this Episcopal priest was talking to Bishop Sheen on a train, and a large group of people gathered around to hear this little discussion going on, and the Episcopal priest was defending his orders, saying that they were valid, and Bishop Sheen was saying, well, the church had declared them invalid and did not recognize them because of these essential changes that really destroyed the proper ordination rite in the Anglican Church. Well, the debate went on, and finally the train came to a certain stop, and the Episcopal priest got off, and as he got off the train, he stood outside the train car where Bishop Sheen was seated near a window. It must have been before air conditioning, because the window was open, it was a warm day. And the Episcopal priest shouted back into the train, he said, Dr. Sheen, I am a priest, I am as validly ordained a priest as you are. And there's nothing that you can do that I can't do. And Bishop Sheen shouted back to the Episcopal priest, he says, oh yes? He says, well, I can kiss your wife, but you can't kiss mine. And so he treated things with a certain humor and gentleness when it was necessary. As he always said, he never argued to a point to be offensive. He said, I would rather lose 1,000 arguments than one soul. He didn't think it was proper to engage people in argumentation, which itself could turn people away from the church. That wasn't important to win the argument. It was important to try to keep a good relationship to these other people. So he certainly worked to extend the theme of life. And I had heard that when he died, he was working on a project involving Our Lady of Guadalupe. And Our Lady Guadalupe is looked upon as the patroness, the protector of the unborn. And so I'm wondering if he was trying to extend the influence of Our Lady of Guadalupe to watch over unborn children. And from about the time of his death, or even his later years, devotion to Our Lady of Guadalupe has grown immensely, and we do look to her as the protectress of the life of the unborn. So we can say of Bishop Sheen that the title he took for his popular TV series that won him 2 Emmys, Life is Worth Living, was a reality for him. He lived it to the full, and he encouraged others to do so, living it as God would want us to live, as his sons and daughters. May the Lord give you his peace.
For more audio and videotapes by Archbishop Sheen, contact Keep the Faith Foundation at www.keepthefaith.org or write to Keep the Faith Foundation, 50 South Franklin Turnpike, Ramsey, New Jersey, 07446.
Join us again next week at this time when Father Andrew Apostoli examines the life and work of Archbishop Fulton Sheen here on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.